Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I am so glad to be here this morning. We have a special show that is going to wrap up a lot of ideas that people have hanging around out there about discrimination. Discrimination, you hear it all the time, you hear it in the media. And, you know, what really gets me is that it's usually targeted to two specific groups, okay? And I'm going to get into that in a minute. We've got students who have been writing in about discrimination consistently really heavily since Trayvon Martin's, the incident with Trayvon Martin and all the things that have happened since then have been, really burdening the minds of many students. And so this morning, this show, what we want to do is try to always bring a more positive outlook to the situation. We want to have people log into the show to not only get the idea of that, okay, we can sit and we can talk about problems all day, or we can discuss the problem. Of course, we have to know what the problem is, and then we have to come up with the solutions. And so we ask that any of you that are on chat right, that would prefer to be on the chat line is open so that you can go ahead and type in any questions or concerns that you have throughout the show. We have a special guest coming on in a little while, Professor Kelmer, who is an educator, entrepreneur, and she will giving us some of her ideas about what she's doing to build her schools, and also that she is a member of the Nation of Islam and has a very interesting perspective about education, and especially as it applies to African-American students. So for a moment, let us really thank WhiteAppleInstitute.org. White Apple Institute is moving along very, very progressively. Lots of people are going on to Facebook and Twitter and following and liking what White Apple Institute is doing. The staff there, we are just so committed to helping adult students and student veterans with disabilities. I don't know if most of you know that I am a veteran myself, and I am disabled by category. However, I don't wear the label because I'm differently abled, and that's the whole concept of White Apple Institute. The vision is that people all over the world, not just in the United States, will have an opportunity to grow and to be involved in school and work projects. So we thank you so much for joining us this morning, and I just want to get a little bit into, you know, get your ideas. We got a switchboard that's lighting up here, and we certainly appreciate everybody that's coming on board this morning. But, you know, the title of this episode says, Students Discuss the Reality of Discrimination, and the reason why reality becomes an issue is because there's two types of discrimination that happen. There's the perceived discrimination, and then there's the real discrimination. So, see, we can perceive that someone is discriminating against us, so how do we know when it's real, really, really real, okay, that it's true and something that we need to take action against, because discrimination is an act of stopping someone, hindering someone from progressing forward, okay, because of someone's prejudices or and biases. Okay, so discrimination is based on our prejudices, and that's what we need to address today. Not just the factor that people can be prejudiced all they want. Okay, as a matter of fact, I'm okay with someone being prejudiced that's next door to me, as long as they don't cause me any harm, because that's when discrimination becomes an issue. Okay, so the term, unfortunately, discrimination is just too often associated with racism versus disability. Okay, now if you agree with that point, the factor that racism and discrimination both together are frequently related in the media and in conversations to the victimization of African Americans and other non-white groups, especially Latinos and Native Americans. And usually the perpetrator is identified as a white American. Now, this is just stat. This is not Dr. Applewhite making this up. This is stat. If you look at a number of cases that the Department of Justice, Department of Education, Office of Civil Rights gets in, these are the issues that are coming up. So here's what I want you to ask yourself, okay, and others that are involved in at least trying to help students with all kinds of learning and mental disabilities, especially those students, because they are hidden and invisible disabilities that people cannot see. Okay, I want you to ask yourself, how do you deal with discrimination? And do you see that as a result of this term discrimination being associated with racism and the African-American image, can you say that, or can you agree with me, that African-American students are often overlooked, especially as they face challenges of going into higher education, anything post-secondary, and any kind of workforce success? Now, of course this is not reflective of all African Americans. Of course not. What we're saying is that there is a disproportionate amount of African American and Latino students that are dealing with these issues. And because of that, when I say disproportionate, I mean that it is beyond sensibility. And it indicates, as many of our writers have come up with, and I give all kudos to one of the organizations that I belong to, is the National Black Psychologists Association. And I give all kudos to many of the psychologists that have written great papers on this particular issue, and educators. And I appreciate that they have, that the honesty is coming out, that there's something wrong with the system. Okay? So we're joined this morning, like I said, by by Professor Kelmer. Professor Kelmer has written books for children, and also, as I said earlier, she's an educator for many years. She's built schools and building more schools and programs for young people. And her focus, interestingly, she's, I mentioned earlier that she is a member of the Nation of Islam. But interestingly, her school and her programs are open to students of all cultures and all ethnicities. And she has some very interesting things to say about the discrimination and the disproportionate amount of especially African-American males, black students, that are in special education programs. So we're going to bring Professor Kelmer on right now. Professor Kelmer, are you there this morning?
Peace and best blessing. Yes, I am. How are you, Dr. Applewhite, and all listeners?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm feeling great, and I'm hoping that today not only will we discuss this extremely controversial subject, but we will also be able to lend our audience, now of over 71,000 people listening to the show since 2009, we're going to lend to them, hopefully, a way to look at the solution, a way to overcome the emotional challenges faced with this issue of discrimination and racism in our educational system. You know, Dr. Kilmer, one of the things, Professor Kilmer, I want to ask you is that when you're, tell us a little bit about the school, the curriculum program that you actually have put together and implement successfully with many students, but also can you tell us how you prepare students for higher education, for post-secondary education?
Well, it's two ways. As again, I am from the Nation of Islam, so I was born and raised in the ideology that, you know, we have to do for ourselves, we have to teach our own children. And keep in mind, when we're saying our own children, you got to look at not just the black children, you got to look at Hispanic, Latino, anybody in our neighborhoods, okay? So when I look at the approach of teaching our children, I'm looking at what's going on in the world, what is needed, and that you can't continue to teach children that same educational system that was taught to you and me 50 years ago. And doing my statistics and my study, we're still on a our educational system in America is so far behind, way behind other countries and cultures. And that's why America's ranked 16th out of other first world nations in math and science and education, in reading too. So, I mean, even Mexico has beat us. Sweden has beat us. So we got to look at, there's something wrong with the system, not the children, but the system. You can't put new wine into an old glass bottle. You just can't do it. And so what do we need to do? Since America is still fighting over, you know, politics and semantics with teachers' union and so forth like that, it's time for us as a community, any community, is to take back control of our children and our lives and our own destiny. So the key to anything is we need to start taking back control of our own community, because as you see, America's fallen in the economy and other, and even in the educational system, everything. We as a people, we still have the power of control. We can do this ourselves. We don't need the government or the government subsidies. All we need for them to do is get out the way and let us do what we need to do to educate our children so they can be competitive and comparative with other nations, not just the United States, but other first world nations.
Okay, now let me ask you something here, and I want you to bear with me as I share with you something from a paper that was written for the Association for Black Psychologists. And I just want you to indulge with me a moment to understand that you are so right. You're in line with what this paper is bringing out as far as the issues of education in, and when you say our communities, any community that is lacking in this issue of quality education is definitely a community that needs to listen. The community leaders
Absolutely.
And the parents listening to the show are the ones that need to go out and do something about it, and we're going to give them that information in just a minute. But one of the things that has been brought out over and over again is the overrepresentation of the percentage of students. And most of it is based on race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status, okay? And, of course, then we have language backgrounds and gender and all of that. But mostly we are seeing stats on race and ethnicity, okay, and African-American students being so overrepresented in special education that when you look at even, and I'm just looking at the domino effect here, the domino effect of dropout rates, okay, higher among African-American students, the recidivism rate for our prisons, okay, and all of it and this is my own personal experience in addition to the statistics that I'm bringing up. All of it seems to lead back to the way that students are treated in those K through 12 years, those formative years. There has to be an answer where government, since it supplies money through our taxes, has to be able to work cooperatively with communities. Don't you agree?
Well, absolutely. But here's the thing. Everyone knows that we still live in a racist society, no doubt about it. You know, it's not about now in the 21st century, it's not about race anymore. It's about classes. And it's about the have and the have not. If anybody get a chance, it's an excellent documentary, Waiting for Superman. It's an excellent documentary on the educational system of America.
Yes.
I truly believe that parents and students need to look at that video because it shows how we, and even white children, everybody, is put in a category to see who's going to be the elite and who are going to be the workers. And they look at your community, they look at your district. We're being discriminated because of our district. I live in South Phoenix, so therefore, naturally, I live in a low-class neighborhood, so I'm going to be discriminated. When I was putting in for my, when you get coached for jobs and so forth, and they ask you to put on your resume, some of these resume coaches, they will put you in areas like in Scottsdale and so forth so you can have a better opportunity to get jobs. Now, isn't that racism? Isn't that discrimination right then and there because of where we live? So
Exactly, and that's what I was speaking about a moment ago when I talked about the socioeconomic status, because it is based, a lot of that, after you get through the race and ethnicity issues, the third thing in line is the socioeconomic status, okay, and that affects all students of all colors, okay? One of the things that I would like to see happen, okay, and tell me what you think about this, is that people that are concerned in these communities develop some type of consortium so that we can all talk together, and I'm hoping that the student-to-teacher show can work on building that kind of consortium. Do you think that that may be an answer for people to at least be able to talk about these things?
Okay. Dr. Applewhite, we've been talking about these issues for so many years. Here's my idea. It's time to do now. We already know what the problem is. We discuss it, and still, we always going to need counseling. No doubt about that. We're going to always need counseling because, you know, my experience that I experienced, and I have come over, but then there's a young person coming in, and they may experience the same thing. So we're always going to need counseling. But the here's the concern I have now. It's time to do. We are in, we are living in a world where, you know, budget cuts are just mandated all over. Our economy is going down. They're cutting down so many social problems and things, social programs for the poor. The middle class is just weaning where it's either you're poor or you're rich now. So now it's time to do. And my agenda and my motivation now is we know the problem, we know the discussion, it's time to do.
Okay,
we got the best psychologists in the world, we got everybody out there, everybody knows the problem, it's time to do.
Okay, now when you say time to do, your actions are speaking as loud or louder than your words. Because you have already rolled up your sleeves and started to do within your own community. And what I'd like you to do before we bring on some of the other callers that are holding on the line right now, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit on what you think are the key issues that lead to the success of your students actually being geared up for higher education at an even earlier age than the standard, mm-hmm. the norm. Okay?
Well,
give us an overview of your success, Professor Kelmer.
Here is what I realized and what my upbringing taught me. You start them at the age of 3 years old. Our children that are born down in this world, they're coming out like, what's up? What do we need to do now? They're picking up their heads. They're ready to go, you know. So at this point now, we need to start education as early as preschool, start teaching them. And that's what they do in China and so forth. Let's take out color, because this is not about color anymore. This is about class. And so basically, if we're going to live in a world or a society where there's all these different cultures, well, we need to get to know each other. We need to learn from each other, and we need to teach. Teachers need to learn how to teach now. Doctors need to learn how to doctor. Now, we need at this point now, and what made my school so successful and the school that I'm probably bringing into the community now is, I always put God first, and I'm going back to the basis, but I'm blending the basis with what's happening with the trends now. You cannot teach this child the same thing the way you learned 50 years ago. That's not going to happen. This is the millennium generation. They're computerized generation. They're technology generation. So, therefore, we have to incorporate some of the basics with some of the technology, because I'm not going to teach my children how to use a calculator and they don't know how to add on their hands.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you got a chance, and many of you got a chance to see American Blackout, well, what's going to happen if you don't have electricity, you don't have your computers? And then if they don't know the basics, how are they going to understand how everything works? So we've got to teach a different way. We've got to teach where they have understanding. And so at this point now, it's time for us to show action rather than hem and haw over what's the problem. We know the problem.
This
is a 50-year-old problem. Even a 400-year-old problem. It's time for us to show action. And let's take religion out of sight. Let's take our differences and let's come with some commonality. When there's a tsunami and there's a typhoon, no one cares about what color you are. Everyone say, what do we need to help? When you're in war, you're not looking at that person or what color is he or, you know, where he come from. You're looking, do you got my back? Okay?
Yes.
And that's the way we need to treat education in America. Do you got my back? Because the bottom line is the have and the have-nots. And they're suppressing many of us to be have-nots. And it's time for us, black, brown, red, whoever color you are, let's get it together and let's get the work done. Let's build our communities up. We don't need government. We need ourselves. And we can do this.
Well, and there's a balance in that, and we're going to bring some other people on that may have some questions for you on that. But, you know, what I picked up from what you're saying, too, is that basically right now in 2013, we have a typhoon in our educational system. Okay, and I want to take a minute to give kudos for all the people that are reaching out to helping our dear brothers and sisters in the Philippines right now who are suffering from the actual typhoon. So I definitely want to recognize that today, and so many other atrocities that are going on across the nation. I hope that people, I know it's hard, and sometimes we just want to turn off the news, but it's important to know what's going on in our world, because we're all in some way going to feel the impact of that, okay, and we need to be prepared for it. But getting back to what you were saying a moment ago about the action in the community, because, you know, as White Apple Institute is involved in helping adult learners with disabilities and student veterans, okay? Okay, so... But the issue is that all I'm seeing when people come to me, when I'm talking about a 40-year-old man or woman who comes to the White Apple Institute and says, you know, I don't even want to talk about my dyslexia. I don't even want to talk about my emotional challenges to anyone because I don't want to be labeled. I don't want the label on me. Okay, so I have to address that. in addition to the fact I have to address a history of discrimination that they have undergone since early school years, okay? And so I feel, and this is just something internally with me, and tell me if I'm on the right path in your opinion, that I feel that by addressing things with adult learners, okay, and their emotional issues, that we indeed come back and impact the children, because many of them are parents, okay, and hopefully raise their value system, their self-esteem, so that they can roll up their sleeves and become part of a community action to rebuild our educational system and rebuild education in the home. Can you see that?
Dr. Apple, I totally agree with you. We're always going to need counseling. That is a fact. However, with the counseling, there needs to be solutions. You know, the problem here, the concern I have is not you, but I'm saying with many psychologists, here, take a pill, take this prescription. No, we need to get to the root cause. Once we get to the root cause, it's time for you to become a functional adult. You have children, you have families. Yes, that was the past, but a person who talks about the past has no present. So now, once we continue and we go to the root cause, but you need to become a functional adult. So now let's get you back into working mode. Let's get you back into a functional mode where you are a product, a good product of society, where you are helping society rather than plaguing society, because we have to continue to take care of you. Now, there are many of us, you know, who are homeless and so forth. That is our responsibility, because some of them just couldn't make it. Some of them couldn't just cope, you know, and they didn't have the right. So we're going to always need psychologists and behavioralists and psychiatrists to help out. But in the meantime, let's put some solutions to that action. That's the same thing with the education system. We know it's been a 50-year-old outdated educational system in many other countries, first world countries, and some of these third world countries are coming up. We as an American and have been here, it's time for us to stop, you know, using that ego and start using the point that, look, we need help too. And it's time to look at other educational systems that are advancing their society, and we need to start advancing ours. Until America gets out of that ego, we need to, as a community, start taking care of ourselves now. So I'm saying do for self. Become community empowerment. And that's what my whole ideal is, community empowerment.
And, you know, more than psychologist, I'm an educator like you, and I truly believe in everything that you're saying about the community. And what I like, when I come back to you, Professor Kelmer, I'm going to take a few people on the line right now that have been very, very loyal and waiting. I'm sure they have some things to say to you. But I'd like to come back with you, because one of the things that it's very important, because, like you said, we can talk all day long about it, but there's a strategy. And I'd like you to kind of like just share with us, and I hear it already, you're starting at the foundation with parents, okay? You realize that it's important to work with them, and that's the same thing that I'm doing, and you're working with the students also directly. So I'd like to know, get some ideas for people out there about how they can do some of the same things that you're doing and where they can start. So let me just bring in one of our co-producer for our veterans program. And Mitch, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And I just wanted to get your comments on this, because, you know, I mean, here you are, and not only do we both work with veterans who are going to school and trying to make it and coming back with all kinds of issues of PTSD and depression and everything else, and learning disabilities. And I look at you, Mitch, and the fact that on top of everything else that you've gone through as a veteran with a disability, you've recognized your different abilities and been such an inspiration, okay? And I think on top of that, Professor Kelmer, I want you to hear Mitch. He is also a parent. He went to school, went to ASU, and as a parent and as a veteran, He has a lot to say about how we can overcome the discrimination of that label. And, Mitch, if you have anything, kudos to Professor Kelmer that you'd like to give, or any questions, please go ahead and elaborate on that.
Yeah, I'd just like to say to Professor Kelmer that it seems like she's doing a very, very admirable job and of trying to get the community behind a program, because it is a foundation-based program. You have to start from the bottom and build it up, because somewhere along the line, like she said, with government intervention, we got sidetracked and derailed from what the task was in the beginning. So I have to give her kudos for all that she's doing, because that sounds like something I'd like to get involved with. But
well, thank you.
To put this on the track of discrimination in the classroom, when I was going to ASU, I was going for a teacher certification, and my wife was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking a class, forgot what class it was, but it was one where I had to do, it was a curriculum-based class, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my professor, every day that I would go into class, would harp on Gloria Steinem. I was the only black male in the class. I was the only male in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And she discriminated on me because she was a staunch feminist. I have nothing against feminists. Be what you want, but just don't let it involve come into my realm of existence.
Mm-hmm.
I won't discriminate against you because you're a feminist, and please don't discriminate against me because I am an African-American male. But
mm-hmm.
it went on to the point where I had to do a presentation. My wife was getting ready to give birth. She says to me, you're going to do this presentation or you're going to flunk the class. It has to be a life or death situation. Well, I am a Vietnam vet. It's pretty hard to intimidate me. I
mm-hmm.
am born in the South, where
mm-hmm.
Lynchings were going on when I was in elementary school. So
mm-hmm.
it takes a whole lot to intimidate me. So in
yeah.
other words, what I'm saying, I did not fall into this, oh, woe is me being discriminated against. I went to a higher level of over her.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I got, my child was born on April 15th, true American tax baby, and I got to do my presentation. I traded off with someone only because I was involved in the Disabled Learning Center at ASU.
Mm-hmm.
Other than getting dismayed, I brought my problem to someone, gave me a solution. You go talk to the dean of education, and they will solve this for you. Well,
many
the end result was I got my problem solved. I got my presentation done, and I got my grade. But she gave me a C+. It took for me to get my teacher certification. I needed a B out of that class.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to another school, Ottawa University, took the same class and passed it with an A+.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, I know what discrimination is.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived it. I was born in the South, so I know what it was to see white only, colored only. People have whitewashed it and made it look like something else, but it's still what it is. And other than to succumb to someone's whim to keep me from achieving my goal, I went over the other side of the mountain where their superiors lie, and solve my own problem.
And you know,
I look
I
at people. Go ahead.
I appreciate that, Mitch. I'm gonna bring this around just a little bit because I want to just elaborate on a few of the points that you just brought out a little bit, so that we can tie it in with what Professor Kelmer was talking about. One of the things that she talked about was that, in a sense, we don't need government, but we do need government for the financial backup of this. But what I hear you also saying, and I please, Professor Kelmer, feel free to jump in on this, what I hear him also saying, and I have to agree with this, that we need to know how to cooperate with those that are in those higher power positions, especially within our community, so that we can get some action going on, because there's no way that we can do it alone. A community action requires community, which is involving the government aspect. But how do we do that? And I think that Mitch has one of those answers for us. You keep on going to follow that chain of command up and to get what you want. And we need to empower our students and encourage them to do that so that they understand how to advocate for themselves. Okay? Now, and now you take it from there. I'm talking about parents and students advocating. Do you agree that there needs to be some cooperativeness happening between community and government?
Can I make a suggestion? And I was listening to the brother, and one of the things I would ask him is this. All this discrimination you went through, yes, but what was the underlying solution? Yes, it happens with everyone, discrimination, but what did you do for yourself and your family to solve it? Let's get to, we know the problem, how did you solve it? How did you overcome? And what are the challenges that you're facing, and how are you overcoming it? Now, when I say about government, I'm not saying to negate government all about, because that's just ludicrous. What I'm saying is that as a community, we still have the power. Let me get one point here. African Americans have a spending power of $1.something trillion each year. According to a research paper that I read, that we would be one of the largest countries. We'll be the sixth largest company over our spending buying power. We spend so much on frivolous stuff. If we take, if we have over we have 40 million or 400 million here in America, if each one of us, and this is what Minister Farrakhan is talking about too, the Nation of Islam is talking about, even myself, if we take 35 cents a week or even $20 a year and we got 1 million people to donate $20 once a year, we can set up schools, we can set up clinics, we can set up so many things that we can empower ourselves. We need to stop looking at government, because government is struggling just to hold on. We already know what they have done and what they're doing. But in the meantime, like I told my parents and my teachers, we know there are parents out there that are terrible. Point blank, they're not going to help their children because they're just as ignorant. But I can't afford to waste another generation. So therefore, as an educator, do I still fault that parent, or do I still allow that child to continue to be ignorant? No, it is my job to say, you know what, I know what the parent is, but I can't afford to have another ignorant generation. So it's my job to set up programs and after-school program so that child can have the best tool it can be, so it can be a functional adult. As he stated, you know, you are a war veteran, okay? Our war veterans, they should not never have to come home to America and look for work. They should have something automatically there. They should also have counseling service, because I've never been to war. I thank God for that. But I hear the horror stories, and they need to have counseling as well as something that they can still be an effective person in our society. So we need to, my goal is, when we talk about problems, let's look at solutions too. We know what government is. Government is scrambling right now. But as a community, as an individual, what are we going to do to be part of the solution and not part of the problem?
Well, let me just integrate for a moment here, and thank you so much, because we have about 20 minutes left on the show, and we want to make sure that we get everybody in. Want to take a quick note here to ask people that are listening to this show to go to whiteappleinstitute.org and click that donation button to keep this show live and well and out there in the community and broadcasting worldwide. And in addition to that, White Apple Institute provides crisis stipends to students with disabilities and student veterans who run into difficulties like testing and childcare issues and just basically trying to get through school programs, and financial aid doesn't cover that. So your donation really helps us do that and provide all the emotional support. So I encourage you again to go to whiteappleinstitute.org. And if you will, send it to someone, send it to your friends and your social network so they can get exposed to what we're trying to do to bring awareness to some of the issues that students are facing out there, and especially students who are also parents, okay, because they're impacting. Okay, so getting back, though, to some of the callers here, and I see on the chat room also we have some people that are commenting about the necessity of the separation of government with community action and the individual action that we all need to take. Because when we talk about the reality of discrimination, okay, we know that the discrimination that we're talking about is institutional racism, okay, and it's in our educational system, and that is run by our government. And I'm sure, Professor Kelmer, that's one of the reasons why you are so emphatic about the fact that we don't need government to get this going. But I think that there's some other comments out there, and I just want to make sure that I get everybody online in the few minutes that we have left. We have a caller from 824. Number, are you there?
Yeah, this is Tom Baker, Vice President
of
White Apple Institute.
Good morning.
I'm doing fine. President of the Student Advisory Board. You know, I can say that I used to get discriminated against when I lived on the Indian reservation by the students. My older brother would beat me up if I got in a fight, and all the Indian kids would want to fight with me. I remember that. And I also have dyslexia, and the teachers used to discriminate against me and think I was really stupid because I couldn't read. But yet I could do math problems like mad, so they'd think I was lazy.
You know, Tom, I really appreciate the fact that you're bringing that out, because you as a white male have gone through your issues also and being placed in special education background. And I just wanted to make sure that there's a clarity in the fact that the beat-ups, the bullying, and all of that is usually that's based on the prejudice. The actual discrimination that we're talking about today is just what you said about the teacher in the classroom, the government, the system that is allowing this discrimination to take place, and which is pushing students, especially African-American males and females and Latinos, into a situation where they are subjected to special education programs that do not motivate them or encourage them to mainstream into the same programs as other students. And it leads to these problems that we have in our communities of higher rates of dropout, crime, and low self-esteem. So what we're trying to do is address discrimination and how we can change that within our community and educate others to do that. And that's what Professor Kelmer is doing. So stay tuned, because we're going to come back and hear a little bit more about just that situation that we're talking about being diagnosed with dyslexia and being treated unfairly in the school system. We have another caller coming in we want to take on. It's a 623 number. Hello, good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Hello.
Hi, are you there? Okay. Hi, did you have something you wanted to share this morning? Okay, I can come back to you. Okay. Do you have something you have to share? This is a 216 number. Anything to share this morning? Good morning. Do we have any vets online here? You know, I do this as an open forum, so just jump right in. I have any vets online? Do I have a vet here? Hello? Do I have a veteran at 226? Okay. All right, people, just speak up if you need to. I'm going to go back to Professor Kelmer in a minute. I thought I had another veteran here online.
Hello?
Okay. Yes, hello.
Hey. Okay.
Hi, your name, please? Say your name. Okay, Professor Kelmer, we're going to get back to you now and make sure that we come to a really good conclusion, and I'm hoping that Mitch will have some things to say, too, on how we can work more effectively to pull in the advocacy that we need to do with the government, because we need that money. Isn't that right?
Exactly. But here is the thing. We have the money. We don't have to depend on government solely. We can depend on our community, our family, and other resources. We have to just prioritize. And the problem here, and the biggest problem that we have, we don't prioritize. We can talk about discrimination, racial discrimination, disability discrimination, cultural discrimination. We can talk about the issues all the time, but the bottom line, this is the society that we live in. It's time for us to do action and empower the community, empower ourselves, so that this next generation that's coming about, they will have those tools or resources to get them through over the hump. Our government, you know, they're in a crisis. Someone needs to do a whole psychological evaluation on our government. But it started at the root cause, you know, racism and discrimination. Now it is the time, as American people, as people, period, to start doing action. Stop talking about the issue, because it's always going to be there. Let's be about it. Let's start pulling our resources together and build a community. One last point I want to make. It was an article written about the Mormons. They bought up about one-third of Florida. They pulled their resources together and they spent over like $3 billion and bought land so that they can feed and build schools in a community. Why aren't we taking that? You know, if you look at the Amish people, they do it. They live on
the model. Are you saying the model? We need to take the model?
Yes, we need to take that model and bring it in our communities, you know. Mm-hmm. We have government, and we can tell government as a people, if we get together, we can tell our government, our state government, this is what we want to do. We can get them out the way, we can pull our resources together, and we can power with each other. Every last one of us, many of us have gone to school and have education and degree, but we're still looking for jobs. And if you look at what Waiting for Superman talked about, we don't need to look for jobs. We have the brains and the tools, and we have experience. Well, we can start teaching ourselves. We just need guidance. And that's what we're looking at. The 2013, 2014, we need guidance, and we need to start looking at who's going to be over in control, and we need to start empowering each other. Empower our community. That's the basic economic empowerment of our community. Let's stop talking about the problem, but let's start being about the results.
I think that advocacy is one of the greatest words that we can use, teaching people how to self-advocate, how to not only just understand the problem. Okay, that's one thing. I don't think a lot of people really truly understand the problem and how the domino effect hurts us, that if we don't work with both parents and students in our communities, and that advocacy has to embrace all at-risk children, okay? The highest group, the most unfortunate group in our educational system that's pushed into, especially pushed into special education, is African American students and Latinos, Native Americans, those with disabilities, okay? So we've got, and just poor children across the board. We have to, this is United States and internationally. But right now in the United States, if we can get more people to understand that, yes, government is important, and we do need the monies that are generated by our taxes to the government, and we need government to set up regulations because we don't have the means to do that in our communities right away. But one of the things that I think is so important is that we have to go with a cooperative spirit. We have to try that. And we have in the past, but not with a cooperative spirit, with an action plan. And that's what I feel that you have, Professor Kelmer, is that you have an action plan that you have put into place, and you're sharing that with others. And we thank you so much for doing that. I wanna close today with something that was written by Dr. Jamila Cordingham, and she's with the Black Psychologists Association. And one of the things that she says is answers to the problem of disproportionate placement of African-descended children in special education will not come from the U.S. Board of Education, federal government, or any other body of individuals that is entrenched in the intentions of an oppressive system.
She's on break right now.
Okay. I think I have, I want to finish this up here, so I'm going to close out that person that was making that comment. Let me just go back for a moment. The answers will not come from other people that have superior or white interest. Answers will and must come from African-descended people themselves or Latino-descended people themselves after engaging with the fundamental realities of their socio-political history, which is one of the things that you talk about, Professor Kelmer, seeking knowledge of self as African beings and embracing the idea that education is inextricably tied to the struggle for power, prosperity, and a collective survival of the people. Isn't that powerful? Hello? Uh-oh, I think I missed you somewhere. Okay, hold on.
I was just listening. And no, you're right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is something that we collectively have to do together, and I think that's where you're coming from, even though it doesn't matter, like you said earlier, about the religious content, okay? What matters is that people have to look at where the hurt is the most, okay? And no more Band-Aids. We need to clean the wound and really get it where it's going to heal.
And just remember this. I just wanted to say that when there is a natural disaster, no one asks you what religion you're in. They ask you, what do you need help in? How can I help? All of a sudden, color, it doesn't matter at that point. At, you know, certain things, I'm not going to exclude Katrina, for example. But what I'm saying here is this, that we are in a natural crisis. Our community is in a natural crisis. So we can put religion aside. Let's be about community empowerment.
I got a bowl and a spoon.
I'm just one person. You're another person. Everyone, let's start doing about community. Let's be about action now.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else that has anything to say as we close our show today? And what I'm looking for is some inspirational thought that we can share with others, okay, especially as we look at the factor that as we close, we have veterans that are out there right now that have families and that are trying their best to overcome discrimination, especially if they're African-American males and have had any kind of background with school that has hurt them, hurt their ego, hurt their self-esteem. We encourage you to not only listen again to the show, but investigate what we do at White Apple Institute. Get in touch with us. Professor Kelmer is part of our advisory committee. She's available to discuss some of her things if you are willing to look at community action. Professor Kelmer, also you have a book out that helps children with the alphabet.
About the
Ed card. Amazon. Okay. Mitch, are you there? Do you have something to close with?
I'm here.
Okay,
yes,
hold
here.
On just one moment. I want to give Professor Kelmer kudos for that book. The title of it is Q. Is that right, Professor Kelmer?
Yes, and remember, I'm just a small person, and thank you so much, Dr. Applewhite and White Institute and all listeners. I'm writing children's book, but the children's book, it may be fun, but it's also education. It's teaching them some basic foundation, and that is the premise for my schools and schools that I'm trying to open up in the community. Thank you so much for having me on, and I thank you, listeners, and anytime you would like to get a hold of me, please go through a White Apple Institute. Dr. Apple knows how to get a hold of me, and I would love to work with people who would love to get into community involvement and how you can empower not only your home and yourself, but also your community and everywhere we go. So thank you so much for allowing me to have this time to speak. Thank you so much. Peace and blessings.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want you all to know that we will be inviting Professor Kelmer back on the show again to discuss what she's doing as an educator and an entrepreneur, because she has some interesting things that she's doing within the community to raise the consciousness of economic empowerment and how that can also add to the advocacy that's needed in our communities across the United States and internationally in order to raise the consciousness of students with disabilities, especially those with mental learning or invisible disabilities. You can't just see them. You know someone's disabled when they're in a wheelchair. We know that they have that label attached to them, okay? But I think the most difficult challenge, and Tom, you can validate this for me, the most difficult challenge is that when people cannot see the disability, they can't see the dyslexia, okay? They can't see the self-esteem issues and confidence issues that happen in all students. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. They can't see the dyslexia. They can't see that I have epilepsy also, which I have a weird kind where I have psychomotor seizures where I actually hallucinate a little when I have a seizure. They can't see the disability, therefore it doesn't exist to them. It's like, and I do the same thing. I used to work with some people and they were disabled, and there was this one guy who was a strapping young man who was real strong and muscular, and I saw him and I thought, well, what's the matter with him? And then I noticed he had trouble talking and he was deaf, you know. And I do the same thing myself. But when you can't see the disability, a lot of times people pretend that it doesn't exist, which doesn't help any, you know.
Well, thank you, Tom, for bringing that out, because that is something, unfortunately, in the African-American community that needs to be brought out more, is the value of a human being is not based on their academic proficiency, but based on the character that they hold and the self-worth that they hold. So I appreciate that, and I also want to give kudos for those of you listening out there. I want you to know that even with all of the things that Tom has shared with you about his conditions, that he has found different ability within himself and finished college and used the disability resources, integrating his advocacy to work within the system, just like Mitch, the veteran that you just heard a moment ago. And I might have another closure here for the show this morning. Dr. Polnitz, are you there? Dr. Polnitz? Okay, I don't think that Dr. Polnitz is there, but I thought I had another guest.
Professor
on
Applewhite.
This morning, and just close us. Yes.
Yeah, this is Dr. Polnitz. I am here. I had to have on mute.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here, and I just want to say that it's been a great show, and I would like to see it continued on. There's a lot of things that I think also can also be brought up and discussed in this particular forum. But thank you for a great show. And
thank you.
Thank you for our guest speaker. Awesome. Thank you.
Yes. And I encourage all of you, look back on our archive shows and you'll see some other shows that deal with the discrimination issues, disparity of African Americans in our special education system. And I certainly hope that this has raised the conversation.